So take your Bible this morning and turn with me to Matthew's Gospel, Matthew chapter 2. Matthew chapter 2, and I'm so grateful that you're here this morning as we begin this new series of messages week by week. During the month of December, we are going to study Matthew chapter 2 about the treasure of Christmas. It's very interesting because as we study about what's happening in our culture, just a couple of years ago, the Pew Research Center did some research about Christmas. And they really came away with this statement that Christmas is a holiday, but not a holy day for an increasing number of people. As a matter of fact, Religion News has said this: Americans are more jingle and less Jesus in Christmas celebration. In the UK, Britain did a research project, and they found that one-third of the children between the ages of 10 and 13 don't even know that Christmas is connected in any way to the birth of Jesus. As a matter of fact, one writer said it like this: Britain is quickly becoming the most secular nation in the world. Now, I realize that for many of us as followers of Jesus Christ, there's been all of these debates and arguments about whether to say Merry Christmas or Happy Holidays, and we get caught up in these culture wars about what's happening in the culture. And I'm here to say to you, I am less concerned about what is happening in the culture than I am about what's happening in the church. Because oftentimes what's happening in the culture is in reality a reflection of what's happened in the church. As a matter of fact, I would dare to say that oftentimes as believers in Jesus, we know about Christmas and we celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ, but sadly many people are more enamored with Home Alone or Elf on the Shelf than they are the Christ of Christmas. And so this morning, as we look into the Word of God, I want you to follow along in just a moment in Matthew's Gospel in chapter 2, as we begin this study that I hope more than anything else will help us to be certain that we are teaching and training the next generation to be certain, to be absolutely certain that they not only understand, but know why we celebrate Christmas as the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. So if you'd take your Bible this morning and stand with me, I'm going to read beginning in Matthew chapter 2, and I'm going to read through verse 1 through verse 8. Follow along with me if you will. Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, Magi from the east arrived in Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star in the east and have come to worship him." When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. Gathering together all the chief priests and the scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They said to him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for this is what has been written by the prophet, 'And you, Bethlehem, land of Judah, are by no means least among the leaders of Judah. For out of you shall come forth a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel.' Then Herod secretly called the Magi and determined from them the exact time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, 'Go and search carefully for the child, and when you have found him, report to me so that I may come and worship him.'" My prayer is that throughout this Christmas season, that each and every one of us would certainly make a priority out of putting Jesus at the center of our Christmas, and that we will say, we have come to this time and we have come to this place that we may worship him. And all God's people said, amen. May God bless, if you would be seated. Whenever we read the stories in Luke chapter 2 and Matthew chapter 2 about the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, I'm reminded of what Jesus said in Matthew 6, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. In Matthew chapter 13, we're reminded that the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field, and you do everything you can to make sure you buy that field so you get that treasure. The scripture says in Matthew 13 that the kingdom of heaven is like a pearl of great price, that you sell all the other pearls and everything that you have to gain that one treasure of greatest value. When we talk about Jesus Christ being the treasure of Christmas, we need to remember that the treasure of Christmas really is a person, and that person is Jesus Christ. In reading from Matthew chapter 2 and Luke chapter 2, we're provided an incredible storyline of the events that occurred after the birth of Jesus. As we begin this series of messages from Matthew 2 that provide a unique and incredible insight, we're reminded that as the treasure of Christmas is the person of Jesus Christ, we also learn that the Magi were focused on meeting the Messiah, Jesus, who is the Christ. Now, I want to give you a key thought for this morning's message, because it's going to permeate everything that I'm going to say. And I've only got two major points to make from this passage this morning, but I want you to hear this key thought. As you celebrate Christmas, as you celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ, I want you to be certain that the primary focus in your life is that you encounter Jesus, who is the Christ. Now, I want to warn you about something. We become all consumed about people saying happy holidays. We become consumed that the culture is growingly secular. But we who say that we believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, it is absolutely essential that not only do we model what we believe, but that we pass to the next generations what we know to be true, and that is, there's a lot more Jesus in Christmas than there ought to be jingle. Amen? How do we do that? Well, we're going to see that in just a moment. Let me give you some background information about this passage that you might find important. When you read this passage in Matthew chapter 2, it says that after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king. When we read Matthew chapter 2, it tells us that Jesus had been born. There's a lot of debate about the timeline of this, but it's likely that the visit of the Magi was much later after the birth of Jesus than when the shepherds appeared, as you read about in Luke chapter 2. As a matter of fact, when we read this passage, we're reminded that Bethlehem is about 6 miles south of Jerusalem. It's originally called Ephrathah. It was the home of Boaz, Naomi, Ruth, the birthplace of David, and sometimes it's even called the city of David. When we read Matthew chapter 2, there are things that occur here that are not told in the other gospel narratives, even in Luke chapter 2. The visit of the Magi, the rage of Herod, the massacre of innocents in Bethlehem, and the flight to Egypt and the return after Herod's death. None of those are mentioned in Luke 2, nor are they mentioned, of course, in the other gospel narratives. Only here in Matthew chapter 2. And you ask the question, why is all of this so significant? It's significant because if you want to understand the Bible, you have to understand the context of every book in the Bible and how it fits into the overarching plan of God's redemptive story for humanity. When you study the Gospel of Matthew, you learn that Matthew was written with a Jewish reader in mind. As a matter of fact, Matthew was written in such a way, when you read Matthew chapter 1 and you go through the genealogy of Jesus, it is clear that Matthew is wanting to be certain that the readers believe that Jesus is the Messiah that was promised to the Jewish people. And so in doing so, we get to this second chapter in Matthew, and there are some observations and considerations that I want us to take this morning as we examine this passage of Scripture. As you seek to be certain that Jesus Christ really is the treasure that is at the center of your Christmas. I want you to notice, first of all, that there are those for whom meeting Jesus is of primary importance. In verse 2, notice what it says. The Magi came and said, "Where is he who has been born King of the Jews? For we saw his star in the east, and we have come to worship him." Now, who were these Magi? We have had all kinds of fanciful stories about these Magi. Most of the time, people think there were how many? Three. And the only reason that that is surmised is because of the gifts that were brought that we're going to study about in the future. But the fact of the matter is, we really don't know how many of them there were. What we do know is they came from the east, likely from Persia, and more than likely they were mystics and they may have been astrologists. We don't really know a lot about them. What we do know is that they came, and when they came, they had a priority, and their priority was in meeting Jesus. You see, the whole purpose of their journey was to meet him. Look what it says in verse 2. They didn't ask, "Where is a religious icon?" They didn't ask, "Where is a religious experience?" They didn't ask, "Where is a religious ritual that we can participate in?" They said, "Where is he?" In other words, they came because of the leadership of God, and we'll explain that in just a moment. But they came, and their priority was to meet Jesus. I dare say that somehow we have become so busy during this season. So many parties and activities and family gatherings that are all fun and they're good. But somehow in the midst of that, once we've had the blessing over the meal, Jesus is put on the shelf just like an elf and he's forgotten. The priority for every single one of us this Christmas should be certain that we meet Jesus. You know, I remember when I had my first Christmas in 1978 after I became a Christian. I had always celebrated Christmas, and my parents had always celebrated Christmas. I didn't understand anything about Christmas. I didn't understand the story of Christmas. But when I became a Christian in 1978, just a few months after becoming a believer, was the first Christmas that I'd ever experienced as a follower of Jesus Christ. And I'll never forget Vicki explaining to me the story of Christmas. We were sitting in the living room of her home on Erskine Drive in Huntsville, Alabama, and there was a nativity set, and she was telling me about the Magi and what it meant. And I've never forgotten that, because every year at Christmas, one of the things that I love to do is I love to just stay up late and read the Word and think about what Jesus means to me. Can I beg you to do something this year? Don't let this season be more of a holiday than a holy day. Don't let this season be more about the jingle than it is about Jesus. The priority of their journey was to meet him. The purpose of their journey was to meet him, but the priority of their journey was to meet him. Look what it says in this passage. It says, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews?" Now, this is significant in Matthew's writing because Matthew was wanting his reader to know that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and that he was the fulfillment of all of the messianic prophecies, that he had a legitimate claim and a rightful ownership as heir to the throne of the people of God because he had come through the right lineage. He was Jesus the Christ, the King, who had come to deliver his people from their sins. Notice what it says. Where is he who has been born King of the Jews? It was not only the purpose for their journey, but it was the priority of their journey. Now, let me just say this. You and I enter into this season, and what we say is, it's all about Jesus. It's about Jesus. Christmas is all about Jesus. I mean, we can go to one another's homes, and we can see the nativity sets on the shelves and on the fireplaces, and we can see all. You can come by my house, and I've got a joy that's out in front of our house, and in the center of the O, there's a nativity symbol. It's all about Jesus. We agree with that. That's the purpose for Christmas. But there's a difference in entering into the season with it being the purpose for why we celebrate and making it the priority for why we celebrate. Why do we do Hanging of the Green? Why do we do Winterlude here? You didn't start this years ago, and you didn't begin Christmas Eve services years ago so we would have another reason to spend our time having a good time. No, this church did those because they wanted Jesus to be the priority of everything that was done. The purpose of their journey was to meet him. The priority of their journey was to meet him. But listen to this. The pathway of their journey was God-given. It's interesting when you read this passage, we often have a misunderstanding of this passage because it says, "Where is he who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star in the east and have come to worship him." Now, some have the idea that that star led them the whole way. I don't know, maybe it did. It doesn't say that in the scripture. What it does say is that they saw his star in the east and they have come to worship him. In other words, it's interesting that somewhere and in some way, God, in his sovereign drawing, began to draw these Gentiles. I like what Alexander McLaren said about the Magi. They stand as representatives of the great truth that outside the limits of the people of Revelation, God moved on hearts and led seeking souls to light in diverse manners. In other words, we don't really know how these Persians came to be seeking the Messiah of the Jews. Maybe some of the scriptures from Daniel and his prophecies had been left behind. We don't know. We do know that the Bible makes it clear about the time in the book of Daniel. And then in Micah chapter 5, verse 2, which is quoted in this passage, we learn about the place. But what we find in this is that they came because they were following the God-given path. And I want to remind all of us that there aren't many paths to God. There is only one way, and his name is Jesus. It's interesting. There are those for whom meeting Jesus is of primary importance. When you read about the Magi, I want you to remember this one thing. The primary importance of their journey and their purpose in going was that they may meet the one whom God had sent. That's what we want you to do this morning. We didn't come here so that you can be entertained, and we didn't gather this morning so that you could listen to some great kids sing great songs. They did a wonderful job, but those kids sang those songs filled with gospel truth so that every one of us may be ushered in to the very presence of the living Christ. Can I ask you a question? In your own personal life, is meeting Jesus of primary importance to you? There's a second observation that I'd like to make about this text, and that is this. There are those for whom meeting Jesus is a problem. Not only is it that there is a reality that there are those for whom meeting Jesus is of primary importance, but there are also those for whom Jesus is a problem. Now, there are two groups represented in this passage that I want to point out. First of all, the birth of Jesus challenges our self-rule. The Bible tells us in verse 3, when Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. Now, who was Herod? Herod was half Jewish and half Idumean. He was a puppet king placed there by Roman rule over Judea to serve as a vassal and really a supporter of Rome, but somehow to placate the Jewish people. Herod, there are many Herods that we know of in the scripture, but this Herod, he was quite an interesting character. Why was he so interested? Notice what he does. Verse 4, gathering together all the chief priests, the scribes, and the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. And they told him, they knew, in Bethlehem of Judea, for this is what has been written by the prophet. In verse 7, Herod secretly called the Magi and determined from them the exact time the star appeared, and he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search carefully for the child, and when you have found him, report to me that I too may come and worship him. If you look down in verse 16, Herod is a liar. He never intended to worship Jesus. It wasn't his priority to meet Jesus. If it had been his priority to meet Jesus, why didn't he go 6 miles to Bethlehem to see him for himself? No. I want to tell you what Herod loved. Herod loved his power, he loved his position, and he loved his possessions. And Jesus was a challenge and a rival to those very things. I want to tell you why people reject Jesus today. You don't ever hear anybody saying, I'm not going to follow Jesus. Why would I want to follow somebody that healed people and gave food away and loved them? You don't ever hear people say, well, I really don't want to follow Jesus. I understand he died for me on the cross, and whether I believe that or not, it's irrelevant. I really don't want to be forgiven. I don't want to be forgiven. People don't say that. What people say, whether they say it verbally or articulate it clearly, is this. I don't want Jesus because I don't want anyone to be the ruler over my life. The birth of Jesus is a problem for some because the birth of Jesus challenges our self-rule. Now, I want to tell you a second kind of person that is here, and that's found in this passage. The Bible says that not only in verse 3 was Herod the king troubled, but all Jerusalem was troubled with him. Now, wouldn't you have thought that if the Jewish people in Jerusalem of all places, the scribes, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the high priest, if they had heard that the fulfillment of Micah 5:2 and Daniel chapter 24, chapter 9, all of those had come to pass, don't you think they'd have been jumping up and down and celebrating and shouting and going, where is he? Where's the Messiah? Let's go find him. But they didn't. Because not only does the birth of Jesus challenge self-rule, but the birth of Jesus also challenges the status quo. I find it interesting that in recent studies, The number of people that believe the biblical account of the birth of Jesus continues to decline. It's interesting that 9 out of 10 Americans say they're going to celebrate Christmas, but only 51% say that they're going to attend a religious service during the holiday season. Why is that? I'll tell you why. The human heart is wicked and evil. And as wicked and as evil as we are, the reality is no one wants anyone on the throne of their life but self. But secondly, we want the status quo. We don't want anything or anyone to interrupt the life that we have and the way that we're going. And you can't be confronted with the truth of the birth of Jesus Christ without it challenging the status quo in your life. You know, that's what Christmas does for me. I love Christmas. I love the family time. I love the decorations. I love Christmas music. I love secular Christmas music. Nothing wrong with that. But I want to tell you what Christmas does for me. It brings me to the center of what truth really is all about, and that is the true treasure of Christmas is a person whose name is Jesus. And when I am confronted with the truth of the person of Jesus Christ, that he is the Son of the living God, who was born and came in the flesh to die on the cross for my sin, to be raised from the dead that I might have everlasting life, I want to tell you something. The only response that I can have is to bow before him and say, Jesus Christ is Lord. And I can't go through my life coasting. I have to ask the question, Lord, how do I live for you? I like what John R. Rice said. The world has no room for Jesus. Herod and the Jewish leaders wouldn't travel 6 miles to see the Savior. Bethlehem had no room in the inn. Luke 2:7, she gave birth to her firstborn son. She wrapped him in cloths and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. Later, the Son of Man had nowhere to lay his head. Matthew chapter 8. Jesus said, the foxes have holes and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. When he died, he was placed in a borrowed tomb. Matthew 27. And Joseph took the body and wrapped it in a clean linen cloth, laid it in his own new tomb, which he had hewn out in the rock. He rolled a large stone against the entrance of the tomb and went away. The world has no room or time for Jesus. And instead of us debating with the secular world about calling it Christmas or holidays, why don't we, the people of the living God, make it our priority to meet with Jesus during Christmas? Let's make it our very purpose that Jesus be at the center of everything of our lives. And let's follow the pathway that God has given us that we may meet with him and never, ever be the same. Three things I want you to think about. Three closing comments I want you to pray about. This ring that I'm wearing that I can't really get off my finger today because it's a little swollen. How many of you have ever noticed me wearing this ring? Anybody ever noticed that? I have people ask me about this ring a lot. It's got the image of the School of Theology of Southwestern Baptist Theological Seminary on it. This ring is so valuable to me. Now, to look at it, you would think it may be very valuable cost-wise, but it wasn't. Vicki and I were 25-year-old young seminary students and didn't have much, and we were eking out a living, and she was pregnant, and we had a little daughter at that time who's sitting right here today. Honey, I'm glad you're here. I love you. And I don't know where Vicki got the money, but she scraped together a little bit of money, and she bought me this ring. Now, it's not made of gold. It's some metal that's not very expensive.
And the stone in it is not a diamond. It looks nice like a diamond, but it's a cubic zirconium. So the fact of the matter is, if I were to take this ring and I were to go to the pawn shop somewhere here in town, and I were to ask them, hey, how much money would you give me for that? It's not like my high school ring that really was gold that I pawned for $50 to buy a pair of shoes one time. True story. I don't know what I'd get for that today. Wouldn't be much worth to most people. But I'll tell you something. Whenever I take that ring off and I set it down somewhere and I can't find it, I will do anything I can to find it because it means so much to me. Because it's not the value in the elements with which it was made. It's the love with which it was given. Listen to me. Jesus Christ demonstrated his love for you and for me, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And what a shame it would be if this Christmas you didn't say these three things to him. Lord, more than anything, I want to encounter you this Christmas. Would you read that with me out loud? Lord, more than anything, I want to encounter you this Christmas. Secondly, Lord, more than anything, I want to give you the highest priority in my life. Would you read that out loud with me? Lord, more than anything, I want to give you highest priority in my life. And third, Lord, more than anything, I want to follow the path that leads me to encounter you. Could you say that out loud with me? Lord, more than anything, I want to follow the path that leads me to encounter you. Would you stand this morning? My prayer in preparing this series of messages is that as we study the story of the Magi and the story of Jesus and his flight to Egypt, that you will begin this Christmas season of 2021, that those three prayers will be the prayers that guide your heart and your family and your life, that you'll do anything to make sure that encountering Jesus is the highest priority, and you'll take whatever path God leads you to. This morning, there are those of you that are listening online and you're going to chat with the online pastor. There are scores of us that are here this morning who just need to come to the altar and say, God, I don't want to get so caught up in the jingle that I've forgotten about the Jesus. We sent out over 160 letters to folks in our church that had lost loved ones this year. Now, I want to tell you, for those 160 families, it isn't about the jingle this year. It's about Jesus, because they're missing their loved ones. And that's really what matters, amen? Jesus, heaven, eternity. If you're here today in this room and you need to follow Jesus as your personal Savior, I want to ask you to come. We'll be glad to speak with you. If you want to join this church, come. Our pastors will be glad to talk with you. We're going to sing this beautiful song, What a Beautiful Name. If you need to come to the altar and pray and give your Christmas season to Christ, if you need to make a decision for the Lord, Father God, I pray that your Spirit will move in power and that you'll do what only you can do. We love you. And we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.